great anticipation because it is Christmas Eve. But I want us to open the Word of God together and see someone who was anticipating something, and we'll move quickly through the Scriptures, but not too quickly, because I want God to drive something home before we see what happens with Cornelius. And I know that's something else that you're anticipating this morning, as am I. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 1. That's where we find Matthew's account, early accounts of the Christmas narrative. And thank you for standing. Let's, though verse 21 is going to be our text today, I want to get it in context. So let's go back to verse 18. You know this story. It says, the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. He had all kinds of fears and doubts about what must have taken place, but after he had considered those things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because she has been conceived, what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And here's the verse, and I pray this verse will ring in your heart and in your mind throughout the day. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Father, we thank you for this great promise that came true in the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to understand more deeply and passionately what that means today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Name him Jesus. Name him Jesus. Don't you love seeing Christmas through a child's eyes with all that sense of anticipation? It's even more fun as parents. And this year I have discovered it's even more fun as a grandpa. It's even more fun as grandparents. Today's verse reflected all that was going on in Joseph's heart here in verse 21. When we think about what Joseph was told, that, hey, you're not the biological father, but you're going to be the earthly father to some degree of a baby boy who is conceived of the Holy Spirit, who's going to be the long-awaited Messiah. See, not only do we anticipate things for a short period of time, but we look into the Scriptures and we see an anticipation of all humanity for a Savior to come. Certainly all Israel had been anticipating this day for some time, and now Joseph is hearing, this is it. That this baby boy that's going to be born, that your espoused wife, betrothed, engaged at this time, but go ahead and marry her, Joseph, because you get to play a role in all of this, bringing up the very Son of God. And he says, name him Jesus. Name him Jesus. What's in a name? Well, a lot's in a name, because in biblical times, as in many places even around the world today, a name reflected character, a name reflected calling, a name reflected authority. What's in a name? Name him Jesus. Let me, if you're taking notes with your worship guide this morning, give you three truths about this name. Jesus, number one, is an exclusive name. An exclusive name. When I say that it's an exclusive name, I'm not talking about the prominence of the name in the Greek language, because there would have been a lot of people named Jesus at this time in the Greek. I'm not even talking about the prominence of that name in its Hebrew equivalent, Yeshua, or today we might say in English, Joshua. And we've got some Joshes and Joshuas even here this morning, I'm sure. But that name Jesus, the name Yeshua, the name Jesus, Joshua, simply means God's salvation. And so he says here, he will save. He will save. This baby boy is going to be God's salvation. The very word become flesh. God with us, Emmanuel. He is God's salvation. It's exclusive when we speak of the authority specifically of Jesus of Nazareth, the one, the only one born of the Virgin Mary, the only begotten of the Father that we behold in grace and truth. It's that name that is exclusive for salvation. We read about that in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Peter's talking to a religious crowd, and they're saying, listen, this stuff you're preaching, by what authority, in whose name are you preaching this good news, this message? They didn't agree with him. Peter said, let me tell you something about that name. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. Only the name of Jesus. Earlier, he specified exclusively Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one they were persecuting. He was responding to the question by what power in what name? Only in the name of Jesus. Jesus himself said in John 14, and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That prompted C.S. Lewis, who had been an atheist and a skeptic, eventually putting his faith and trust in Christ. He said, listen, either Jesus is Lord and he is who he claimed to be, or he's a liar, so we can't go around saying he was a good man and did good things, because a good man doing good things wouldn't lie like that, would not tell such a bold lie. So he's either Lord, liar, or he was some crazy lunatic. Everybody has to decide for themselves. But Lewis put his faith in Jesus Christ, saying, I believe that he has to be the way, the truth, and the life. He has to be who he claimed to be. Jesus is an exclusive name. Secondly, we see that Jesus is an exalted name. He shall save who? His people. Why would he save his people? 1 Peter 2:9, but you, by the way, you and I are included in the but you in Peter's letter here, if we've trusted in Jesus Christ. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. I love the way the King James puts it, a peculiar people, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In other words, you are his people because he has saved you to exalt him, to exalt his name. 2 Samuel 22 and 47, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. David said, may the God of the rock of my salvation, may he be exalted. Psalm 148 and verse 13, let them praise the name of the Lord. And that name is Jesus. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His majesty covers heaven and earth. In other words, we're to be exalting his name in such a way. We're to be praising his name in such a way that that praise covers the face of the planet. That's why I love the fact that we were lifting up with loud volume the praises of Jesus in this place this morning, singing about his exalted name. And listen, when we do that, we sense his presence like never. He inhabits the praises of his people. And so his name is to be exalted among the nations, exalted throughout the earth. And when we obey the scriptures and we praise him and exalt him with the stringed instruments and the percussion and all that, we're just being biblical and exalting and doing what we came to do. When we lift up our voices and let every breath praise him, everything that has breath, praise the Lord, praise you the Lord. We're exalting the name of Jesus. When we lift up a shout, Brother James, even a whistle, when we lift up a praise, a hand, a hallelujah, we're just being biblical in those moments. Even when we clap our hands, I know some of you may not be used to that. You may come into a place of worship and you say, well, after the song, they were applauding like it were a concert. No. The Bible says, clap your hands, O ye people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We're not applauding. Listen, as wonderfully as these folks sing, we're not applauding a talent. We're applauding a message. And that message is that Jesus is the name above all name, and he is to be exalted. So we're to shout, and we're to clap, and we're to praise, and we're to use every instrumentation that we can possibly find, even our voices, because if we don't praise his name, the Bible says the rocks will cry out, and I don't want a rock to shout in my place. Amen? And so we're to exalt him. He is an exclusive name. He is an exalted name for this reason. Philippians 2, 9 through 11, we've seen this many times, right? Throughout this series, for this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus. That was weak. At the name of every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He said, name him Jesus. And we can begin to praise him and exalt him now, or we will be forced to exalt him when it's everlastingly too late. His name is Jesus, an exclusive and exalted name, but his name is Jesus. It's an effectual name. He will save his people from what? Their sins. Their sin. The word effectual, often used in theological circles and often used in theological debates, it just means it's successful in producing the intended results. Successful in producing the intended results. He will save their people from their sin. That's what he came to do. I'm not talking about, theological extremes, whether you were, one camp will say, well, you were so predetermined, you're either saved or not, you just may not know it yet. Or there's another camp that brings in a kind of a universalist approach and says, well, all are saved, whether they appropriate faith by grace because that grace was manifest to all men. Effectual simply means this. Effectual means what Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 when he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who will believe, to the Jew first, but also to the Gentile, to the Greek. It means Romans 10, 9 and 10 can be trusted that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Pastor Robbie, does that apply to me? Does that even include me? Is he effectual in his name and in his death and resurrection for me? Good news, verse 13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, that name Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon him, saying, I know that I'm a sinner, but you're the only Savior, and I'm asking you to save me, Lord Jesus, shall be saved. You have the promise of Scripture. You may have doubts, you may have frustrations, but you have the authority of God's Word that the name of Jesus is effectual. And listen, God is not, as some try to make him out to be, this giant tease in the sky who would convict you with the Holy Spirit, allow you to respond by saying, the best way I know how, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, I believe that you're a Savior, and I put my faith and trust in you. And God say, well, you know, that's not good enough. Psych, I pretended like I was going to give you something, but I really didn't because you didn't articulate it right. I always found it interesting that those who argue from a theological perspective the hardest that salvation is all up to him are the ones who also argue the hardest that you didn't get it right sometimes. You are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. His name is above all names. But he says, whosoever shall call on my name shall be saved. Church, there's something about that name, because God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's the greatest gift of Christmas. You may be thinking, well, who did I give what this year for Christmas? What did I? Kids, you may be asking, what am I going to get for Christmas? Listen, Pastor Ben, Mr. Dave, they reminded us a couple of weeks ago, the greatest gift is Jesus. His name is the name above all names. I can't imagine what it was like to be Joseph. This baby's born, placed in his hands. Listen, I remember when my children were little. I would hold them and rock them before we would put them to bed at night. It never would last long with my daughter, because as soon as you started to rock, she reached for a crib. Now, she's the kind of baby a lot of parents won't, right? She reached for the crib, went to bed, loved her sleep, didn't cry. Good. Praise the Lord, right? Well, then I began to long for that. Our son, he was actually our firstborn, but he would He would make you sing again and again and again. You were going to rock him for a while. And it's funny, I told you it was more fun as a grandparent. Yesterday, we're at the house celebrating Christmas. It's a little chaotic, a little crazy, and my grandbaby Wesley begins to cry. So they hand him to me. And you know what song came to mind? The same one that I would sing to his dad, the same one I would sing to his aunt. I'd begin to rock back and forth and just sing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. His eyes would begin to close. There's just something about that name. And I'm rocking. He falls asleep in my arms. I'm thinking, man, I'm preaching about the name of Jesus tomorrow. What was it like for Joseph? You think maybe a song like that came to his mind? You think Joseph was saying, there's just something about that name, for he shall save his people from their sins. Would you bow your heads with me? Have you called on that name for your salvation? You know you can today. You can right here in this moment. It's not the words of a prayer, but it's faith in Christ that's important. But we can articulate that faith in a prayer by saying, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe, I trust fully, Jesus, that you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the dead, conquering sin and death, hell and the grave for me. And so I'm calling on your name to save me. Turning from sin and self, trusting Jesus alone. Just wondering, with no one looking around, with our hearts still before God, if you would say, Pastor Robbie, that's my prayer today, would you just lift up a hand and say, pray for me. I'm best way I know how, I'm trusting in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Just hold it up and wave at me. Amen. Father, we thank you for the name of Jesus, specifically Jesus, the Son of the living God, Jesus the Christ. This Christmas, may we celebrate that more than anything else, to the glory of God. Lord, I know that some children have indicated that they're trusting in you, and I pray that they would have conversations with their parents, and I pray that they would learn even more about what that means in just a moment. We'll give you all the glory, as we sang before, in Christ's name, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Before the kids come, would you stand and sing that chorus? You can sing it a lot better than me, but sing it out, Jesus.